Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this will be a good one.
Yes, it definitely will be.
Here we got with us Rupin Patel. He is the CEO with Influence Health. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you tell us about Influence Health? How are you serving folks?
Sure thing. So at Influence Health, we work with hospitals and large health systems across the country, and we really help them to provide a better customer experience to all of us. We help them reach us consumers in the right place, the right time, with the right health information, so we can make better decisions about our own healthcare.
Now, is it in order to attract the patient to the healthcare provider, or is it for existing patients to help them just be served better? Combination?
Yes, all of the above. So folks that may not know about a particular healthcare system may not know that they might need healthcare in the near future, and folks that are existing patients to make sure that things such as adherence and no-show rates are reduced.
Adherence and no-show rates for the appointments or for maybe the treatment that they're in?
Both. So no-show rates primarily around appointments, and adherence around different programs they may be in, that if they knew why they were doing something and we could reach them more empathetically, they're more likely to adhere to the program and thereby get better outcomes.
Now, does it also work for, like, say I have a chronic illness like diabetes or something like that, where I need to do a treatment every day or some multiple times a day, I've checked my blood. Is it help me adhere to that regimen more, like your service, or is that a separate thing?
Yeah, the actual service of the actual procedure that you need to do is separate from what we do. We influence the consumer indirectly to adhere to the program that they're already in.
So if I have to check my blood multiple times a day or take medicine multiple times a day, your program will remind me or give me good reasons to do it? Or is it gamified so that I'm going to win a prize at the end of the day? Like, what's the experience like for the consumer?
We don't have gamification in there currently, but this is really managed by the provider organizations to message according to their guidelines. So this could be in the form of communications directly to them. It could be print mailers that come to their house if they're not digitally savvy that explain to them the benefits of adhering to a program. It could be emails that come to them if they're digitally savvy. It could be text messages. It could be phone calls from call centers. So a multitude of different channels that we use to reach the consumer in order to really empathize with them as to why they need to do what they're doing and to remind them of the benefits of what they're doing.
Now, when you're working with a client of yours, are they doing something now that's not working, or are they not doing anything and you're program kind of gets them going?
It's a great question. So we typically kind of segment our customer base into different maturity levels in terms of their savviness with digital marketing and outreach approaches. So as you know, healthcare tends to sort of be a few years behind a lot of other industries in how they relate to and engage with consumers. And so we have a lot of our customers that are still sort of in the early innings of direct consumer engagement. And we have some customers that are much more savvy. And with those customers, we essentially enable them with additional technology and additional data to implement their own programs. And in the case of the customers that are not very far along into their digital marketing journey, we actually provide them additional services on top of our solutions so that they can get started easily and sort of learn from the best practices of the industry.
When you're starting from scratch in those situations, what are the kind of the baby steps that an organization takes?
That's a great question. So if you're an organization that hasn't done any sort of digital outreach or digital marketing, the first thing you want to do is figure out what sorts of data you want to leverage in order to do that. So if you want to leverage external data about your market, not necessarily your own patient data, because sometimes that's a little easier to come by, we can do what we call prospect. Emailing, prospect, direct mail campaigns. We can do Facebook campaigns. We can do Google campaigns. And this really just gets the message out about the brand for that a particular healthcare system or healthcare provider. Then we can also drill down on a service line basis. So many times it might be cardiology or it might be orthopedics, you know, the common sort of service lines.
But you're segmenting the list of the whatever the provider has.
In this case, early on, the provider doesn't even have.
Oh, so they have nothing.
Yeah.
So you're just going out to the community.
Exactly.
That meets the profile.
Yes.
And then just saying, hey, not like a shotgun blast, but kind of maybe targeted shots at different kind of groups based on what you think their needs are?
Yes. So we can leverage third-party data sources out there. We apply predictive models that we've developed over the years to predict the groups of people that are likely to respond to mm-hmm. different types of service line information. And then we target those groups of people in different channels to try to get them first engaged with the healthcare brand, having a conversation, maybe doing a health risk assessment where they actually get to learn what their real risk is. Mm-hmm. Maybe they get a call back from a call center that helps to get them scheduled so they can actually get a physician-led appointment that helps to give further information about their condition. So that's kind of the early starting period of these customers. Once they start to see the results and once they start to see the engagement levels kind of rise, many of them want to leverage the information that they've already got in their patient databases. So EMRs, as you know, are sort of the repository of patient-level right. information with clinical data. And we take that, we marry it with all the other data that we have about the consumer to create a 360 profile. And now we can do even more advanced segmentation and targeting.
Now, when they're doing this type of work, when you're helping them do this, are you kind of taking the role of their marketing? Are you a tool for their marketing department? Or are you so I would imagine you partner with the marketing departments?
Yes. So we primarily partner with the strategy and marketing teams today inside of healthcare and hospitals, healthcare systems and hospitals. And depending on, as I said, the maturity level of the organization, we may be taking a leading role where we're actually helping them to craft the strategy from soup to nuts. You know, what kind of content do you need out there? Some of them don't even have great websites, so we offer a content management system. Some of them need to manage their digital presence of their physicians, you know, ratings, reviews, those kind of things. So we help them there. And then some of them actually want to do acquisition. So they need to acquire additional patients for different service lines. Some of them actually have more pop health initiatives where they're trying to make sure patients are not coming in, keeping them healthier, keeping them right. out for longer. So it really just depends.
Because of the outcome, because of that. That's a new part of healthcare, right?
Yeah, so it's growing, right? And it's been a trend that's been growing for many years as we move from just a pure fee-for-service model to more of a value-based care model. And there's different conditions and different segments of the population that are under sort of fixed payment plans, bundled payment plans today. So hospitals get reimbursed differently for those groups of patients than they do for just their standard fee for service. And that's growing. As we know, we've had fits and starts in the industry around trying to do it all at once, you know, a shift to value-based care, which probably isn't going to happen. But there's segments of the population that are already moving into value-based care programs.
Now, are your clients all over the United States?
Yes, we're all over the U.S.
Now, are you able to take best practices that you learn in one market and then transfer it to others, or is
Absolutely.
Each market different?
No, absolutely. There's best practices that are applicable across different customers, so we're able to leverage that. That's one of the benefits of working with our company, is that we can take the best practices learned in one region and apply it to another.
So if it worked in the cardiology in Atlanta, it probably is going to work in the cardiology in Wichita.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we look at the different demographics of, right. Of the people in the area to understand where we should reach them best. But underneath the covers are predictive models, which have been trained up with lots of data over the years, are usable across different locations.
Now, for you personally, you started out at Influence as the chief technology officer and then moved into the CEO seat. How has that transition been for you?
It's great. You know, I was looking for a way to get some more gray hair, so I decided to go ahead and take this role. Certainly, I didn't initially think I would become the CEO. I started as CTO, and it just so happened that as the industry shift happened to more consumer-centric healthcare and consumerism being a sort of top of agenda item for healthcare systems, it made a lot of sense for me to kind of transition into this role with my past background at companies like NCR and HP and Turner, you know, a lot of retail and hospitality themes that sort of play well in the healthcare system. So that's kind of made my transition a lot easier, just because we have a whole industry that's already realized that it needs to move in this direction. And our company has aligned appropriately to that trend. And we're leveraging a lot of the different techniques that are used in other industries, you know, omnichannel marketing, loyalty-based offerings, really heavy data-driven offerings, you know, predictive modeling, all this kind of stuff. And I've got a pretty deep background in that. And it made sense to sort of take that and make that top of the agenda item for the company. And so we've really sort of realigned the company around this consumer-centric view.
Now, are you leaning on machine learning and artificial intelligence and things like that?
Yes, we absolutely have to, because of the need to be buzzword compliant. No, actually, seriously, we've actually employed Google's TensorFlow deep learning system into our stack now. So we take all of the data and run it through this different scoring algorithms that have been trained over a large corpus of information and can quickly score different people across multiple service lines or potentially undiagnosed conditions. So we could look at, say, you know, a record for you, Lee, and have information about your socioeconomics, your demographics, your patient history, your clinical encounter history, and then predict the likelihood that Lee might need cardio in the future or might need ortho services. We know that you probably won't need mammography services, for instance, right? So there's some obvious ones, but then there's some non-obvious predictors as well.
Now, do you think it's a competitive advantage of having the CEO have been in the CTO suite with all this data mining that's needed in today's marketing world?
I think it is for our space, certainly. And the reason is the industry is starting to shift into a much more, I would say, technology-driven mindset, because at the heart of it, what we really need to get to is a personalized experience to consumers. And you really can't do that through sheer labor. You know, it's not going to be possible for a health system to hire the number of people required to create individually personalized experiences for every customer, which means you have to leverage technology to do that. You have to find ways to mine the data, auto segment, auto market, et cetera. And so it makes sense to have that be something that is led at the top with our company, who's essentially providing these solutions to healthcare consumers. And I believe it's the right time for that shift in thinking in the industry.
So you think that this healthcare consumerism, is that a trend more than a fad?
Yes, it's definitely a trend. It's not a fad. At least we certainly hope it's not a fad. And I think, you know, if you unroll it a little bit, at the heart of it is the fact that all of us have certain expectations now with any brand we interact with. And we don't say that because we're interacting with healthcare, our expectations should be different. When we go home and we need a ride somewhere, we can just pull up our app, find somebody on Uber to pick us up and take us somewhere. It's so convenient, so simple. We have access. We can get groceries delivered to us. Even our banking, we can do at home. When we go out somewhere, we need to find our way around. We can use a map and get around real quick. So all these expectations are sort of built into all of us as consumers now. So it's just a matter of time before healthcare starts to feel the negative bottom line impact of not having that great of a consumer experience. You know, historically, healthcare has relied on the fact that, people will find us. You know, people will come to us when they need
to. They're in a desperate situation. They're not shopping,
right?
You know, when they're grabbing their chest.
Right. And so multiple trends, exactly. Mm-hmm. And multiple trends sort of are pushing us into this world where we need to be proactive about our health, right? High deductible healthcare plans, the fact that payment models are shifting to more value-based care rather than fee-for-service, and the fact that you can't possibly keep the costs growing in the healthcare system as much as they are really pushing everybody to the conclusion that we need to stay healthier longer. And in order to stay healthier longer, we have to think of healthcare as something we do proactively, and that the provider also helps us do more proactively.
Now, with the advent of all these kind of urgent cares popping up that are partnering with the larger health systems, Is that good for your business?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the advantages of what we do is we take, as I said, a 360 view of an individual in our system. And we can take in data from a variety of different sources, not just from the health system's own EMR. So we can easily take in information from the urgent care, combine it with the information that a health system might have about that individual and have a 360 view, and then appropriately reach out to the consumer for the right type of service at the right place. So if the consumer is overutilizing, let's say, an urgent care, when they really need to kind of come in for a little bit more detailed workup, we can sort of message them. We know that information, and vice versa. They come into the hospital for things that really they should just be going to the urgent care for. We can redirect them there.
Now, I just saw recently that there's a trend of young people that aren't having a primary care physician, that they are kind of leaning on these urgent care.
Yep.
Those kind
absolutely.
Of, so now that's good and bad, I guess, right? At least they're going in for care.
Yep. Absolutely.
The bad thing is they're paying as much as you possibly can for this type of care.
Right.
When it could be more efficiently handled in other locations.
That's right.
But they're feeling about, they want the ability to be able to pop in and just get the service, which they're obviously not getting in these kind of more established medical centers.
That's right. And there's a lot of services. I think this points to the, again, you were asking about fad versus trend of consumerism. This is clearly part of the trend of consumerism, right? We're taking our expectations from outside of healthcare where we can just pop in somewhere and get something
on
done.
Demand.
Right, on
it's
demand.
Right, on
demand when we
want. On demand world.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's no reason why healthcare is not going to face the same challenge. And as you rightly already pointed out, the healthcare systems have realized this and they're doing joint ventures and investments in urgent cares for that very reason, because they know that there's going to be a certain segment of the population that's going to want those quick in and out services. Furthermore, I liken it a lot to what happened with cable and Netflix, you know, where cable said, hey, you need to buy all of the channels and you just pay one price.
Right.
Versus
that's easier for you.
Right.
Don't think about it.
Right. Versus unbundling.
Right.
And so the urgent cares are unbundling certain services that fall into the area of what's called precision medicine, where you know exactly how to treat it. You know exactly how long it'll take to treat it. And you know exactly how long it'll cost or how much it'll cost. And there's no reason to bundle that with the sort of intuitive medicine where you're doing exploration to figure out what's really going on. And so that trend will continue. All the data suggests that trend is going to continue to grow, which makes it even doubly important for the healthcare systems to act in a much more consumer-centric fashion, not just by doing joint ventures with urgent cares, but also thinking digitally about their brand all in all. So it doesn't matter where a consumer interacts with them, whether it's a telehealth app that they're interacting with them on or an urgent care or coming in, that brand should stay top of mind.
Now, I recently had a relative that went through the urgent care and then had to go to the hospital after. And I was impressed by the fact that the urgent care was a partner of the hospital. They went to the urgent care, had to do all the paperwork that you do when you get to for the first time. But when they went to the hospital, they were kind of fast passed through the system. They didn't have to refill out all the forms. And then they were almost immediately just placed into a room as opposed to having to go through the, okay, now I got to wait again. Now I got to fill out, I got the clipboard and I got to fill out this thing again. And I thought that was new to me. Mm-hmm. Is that happening more and more where that, you don't have to fill out the 50 forms every single time at every place you go.
I think it happens in exactly the cases that you mentioned where the healthcare system is partnered or invested in the urgent care. That trend is increasing. So there are many of our customers actually that either fully outright own urgent care centers or they own part of the urgent care center. And when they do that, they can share common technology across the two. So in the patient world, you have the EMR, your Epics and Cerners of the world. And many of these healthcare systems have invested, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in these systems and are insisting that the urgent care systems also use those same systems. So when you fill it out once, it's in the system and now it's easy for the healthcare system to get to it. So yes, I would say that the majority of the larger healthcare systems that we work with are either heavily invested in urgent cares or are in the process of doing so.
But is that when you have the electronic medical record and it's able to transfer, so when I do have to go see a specialist or I have to go somewhere else, and if they're in the same club, then at least I don't have to go through that. Because that's, yep. I mean, that's not a good customer experience.
Correct.
I mean, we all can agree to that. No one is like, yay, I get to fill out the form again.
That's right. Yeah. So that, I think that trend is a positive one for all of us, right? Where these healthcare systems have invested in EMRs. And like I said, a lot of money's gone into them over the last few years. And so you'll see that trend continue. I don't think that it's fully solved between healthcare systems or between unaffiliated providers. There's still a sort of gap in terms of the interoperability of your health record between providers. They may be on completely different systems, the protocols and standards to share information.
But for a consumer, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem, but right. It ultimately becomes a me problem because I'm the one filling out the form 50 times. Mm-hmm. Because in my head, I have insurance. So why aren't they all talking together if they're all under my insurance? So why can't they all get along, you know?
And we certainly concur. and then that is part of the focus of the consumer experience, right? It's really to think about it from the perspective of the consumer, not from the perspective of the provider right. All the time. Now, we're not an EMR company, but we certainly try to work with any kind of EMR that a provider has to unify the data into one single profile to right. allow them to market and reach the consumer in a uniform way.
Now, what about, do you think there'll ever be a time when you're going to have an idea of what something's going to cost before you, you know, actually have the procedure? Or is that a bridge too far?
I certainly hope so. You would think that's a fairly obvious thing, right? So the good news is there are sites out there already that are working on price transparency. The bad news is that because of the way that there's a tension between the payer and the provider and the fact that rates keep getting renegotiated between the two, and there's like this sort of casino game going on between the two, that it's hard to get the exact pricing at the right time and have that information in real time. So a lot of the pricing information you see might be a little bit stale, a little bit out of date, and those payment
but
models keep developing.
So, I mean, from a consumer standpoint, it was like Katie just recently had a car problem. She's like, I go to get my car fixed, and they'd say it's whatever. And they could literally say any number whatsoever. And I'll be like, all right. And it's the same thing in healthcare.
Yeah, it is.
Like it could be, oh, you need this or have this medicine. And they could say $1,000. They could say $100. They could say $1 million. And you're like, I guess that's how much it costs. Like you have no,
right.
There's nothing to compare it to. You have no frame of reference of what's what.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is one of the challenges with healthcare, with the opacity of the payment model, right? So if I can be two different consumers going to the same healthcare system for the same kind of procedure and actually get charged different amounts. And that's because I could be coming in either uninsured, insured through Medicaid, Medicare, or insured through a commercial insurer with a different reimbursement rate. And so in all those different cases, I'm going to get billed different amounts. So there's a whole lot of context that has to be applied into the situation around how much does something cost. And that's the part that hasn't, as I mentioned, been really handled in a transparent way to date. On the payer side, though, it's in their best interest, right, to keep the prices as low as possible because that keeps their reimbursements as low as possible. And so there's a lot of activity on the payer side to actually get price transparency in their own base of providers that they work with.
Right. I understand how there can be a range, just like an airline seat. You know, mm-hmm. we can pay hundreds of dollars difference mm-hmm. depending on how we got the seat. I mean, I understand that. It's just that it's so dramatic. It just becomes silly at some point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Especially when they start publicizing like, oh, appendix out here is, you know, $10,000 and appendix out here is $100,000. It's like, that's just doesn't make sense.
Yep.
I mean, at some point people will start calling you out for stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's already started to happen, right? People are voting with their feet and their wallets. And one of the major trends, as I mentioned, is the high deductible healthcare plans. So before, when it didn't really come out of your own pocket that much, it wasn't as painful.
Right. You're right? Paying a $10 copay or $20 copay. You're like, whatever. I don't care what it is. I don't even look at the bill.
Right. But when it comes out of your pocket, you care as a
consumer.
Now
you're like, why is that? What is that? how much was that?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
That Tylenol was $25. I'll bring my own Tylenol.
That's right. So yeah, that's a very important trend. It's hitting the healthcare industry pretty hard. And again, as I mentioned, payers are really driving a lot of this. So price transparency is coming. It's coming slowly, but it's coming.
So now when you're working with your clients and coming up with a strategy of how to interact with the consumer, is it a situation where they just go, well, you're the experts, and they just kind of leave it to you to do what you think is right? Or do they have opinions about?
For the most part, health systems have internal priorities, right? So they may have invested in a new hospital. They may have invested in a new service line. They may know that in their region, they have a lot of diabetics. They have internal priorities, right? And so oftentimes what happens is the marketing team operates according to the internal priorities of the organization. And so they come to us and say, hey, can we do these 10 things? And we say, sure, of course. You know, here's the technology. If you need us to help you, we'll help you do those 10 things. And I'd say that's typical. That's fairly typical. People operate sort of in the moment. What we're starting to see is, as particularly with the mergers and acquisitions that are happening in healthcare and sort of the realignment of marketing and strategy teams, is the organization sort of leaning on them to actually give a plan proactively rather than sort of reactively according to the organization's needs. When that happens, we do see our customers engage us and sort of ask us, what do you think are the best practices? How should we get started? And that's when we jump in and engage. So we're fundamentally a technology-enabled provider, technology-enabled services provider. So we don't impose upon the healthcare system the procedures and policies and strategy they should be using, but we certainly advise them. And the systems that are starting to kind of mature, as I mentioned, they do come to us and ask us for strategy advice that goes beyond the tactical.
Now, when you're working with a client, especially a new client, are you trying to sell them more on how much money they can make or how much money they can save?
It's a little bit of both, and it depends on where they are in their priority setting. So there are certain health systems and hospitals that are in a competitive market situation. And in those situations, they are concerned about getting more patient volume. And in particular, they're interested in getting more profitable patient volume. So they come to us to help them with those particular needs. In other cases, health systems have sort of a stable business environment. You know, they're not really in a highly competitive situation. And they're more interested in optimizing the health outcomes.
Just efficiency in terms of getting the marketing out there and serving and educating their community.
Yep. And also, as I mentioned, the pop health sort of initiatives where you're really trying to keep people healthier longer. And we had one client who's launched something called Health Esteem. You know, how being healthy actually helps your self-esteem and how high self-esteem helps your health. And it's really about this sort of mind-body connection that they're trying to get out there in the community so that people are a little bit more mindful about their own health.
Now, recently, you guys have reached some significant milestones in your growth. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So we've reset our strategies, as I mentioned, into the consumer experience last year. And as a result of that, we've seen quite an uptick in our sales bookings. So we've had our customers invest more in our solutions. And as a result, we've got a year-over-year growth of about 230%. In our multi-channel campaign solutions bookings, and about 43% in our CXP platform, consumer experience platform bookings. We've also had some customers win some awards for a lot of the efforts that they're doing using our technology, mm-hmm. you know, building really engaging websites and such. So we're really, really proud of that and looking forward to more in the next year.
Now, how do you get your clients? Do you get them? Do you go to trade shows or conferences? Are you doing speaking? Are you... you know, running Facebook ads. How do you go about going to market?
So we do eat our own dog food, as I say. So we do a lot of our own digital marketing to generate leads online. Part of that is providing valuable content and educating the industry, really. So when we have white papers, we have some definitive guides to CRM, definitive guides to CMS that are, you know, 70, 80 pages that really give a lot of educational material to our customers.
Because you're a CTO first, right?
Well, I have to give credit to our head of marketing there. She's done a fantastic fantastic job. In addition to that, we, of course, we attend our major trade shows and industry shows.
So do you exhibit or you speak there?
Both. So we usually have a booth. In some, we also speak. Last year, I got a chance to speak at HIMSS, which is a very large industry conference. But I'll say, like, a lot of the new business we get is really through direct sales. The industry is very self-referential. You know, they all refer to each other's efforts, and they all want to know what each other are doing. And sort of everybody kind of knows each other in a little bit of way.
Because once you sell to one hospital system, then somebody has a buddy, then another one, and they say, yep, hey, what are you guys using?
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, that's cool. That's new. You know, how are you doing that? How can we take advantage of that? So in that sense, it's kind of a friendly industry in between different healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. In local markets, they do get competitive. Right?
Sure.
So that's a little different story.
But if they're in one market, they don't care what's happening across the country.
Right.
You know, yeah, they're in their own little cocoon.
That's right. So we have a pretty robust direct sales force as a result.
And then that means they're out there dialing for dollars?
Showing up, actually understanding what the customer's needs are. Again, they have a list of priorities in the organization, mm-hmm, which priorities are at the top. You know, how can we help you now? How can we help you next year? So there's just a lot of high touch.
Now, and who are they reaching in the organization?
Typically, we're talking to marketing, increasingly a little bit more into the strategy team. And as we're launching some new things this year, we're starting to actually talk to the CIOs, mm-hmm, the head of IT.
Now, what's coming up in the next year or so? What do you got to look forward to?
At a high level, without going into all the details, because we're going to be making some announcements slowly, so I don't want to kind of steal the thunder of those. We're really doubling down on this notion that data is really important, and it's important for a healthcare provider to be an analytics-led organization if they want to provide optimally personal experiences. And to that end, there's a whole lot of investment we've done sort of on the data side. And so there'll be a series of announcements around that. We believe we've got one of the first platforms in the industry that's really focused around the consumer and focused around leveraging the data around them.
Good stuff. So if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, where can they go?
Sure. First of all, you can always visit our website, www.influencehealth.com. And you can reach out to myself. I'm on Twitter at Rupin P, or you can send me an email at the same domain and just my first name, last name.
Right. Rupin, R-U-P-E-N.
That's right.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We'll see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.